patient strength of their necks, bowed under the heavy collar, at the mighty muscles of their struggling haunches. I should like well to hear them neigh over their hardly earned feed of corn, and see them, with their moist necks freed from the harness, dipping their eager nostrils into the muddy pond. Now they are on the bridge, and down they go again at a swifter pace, and the arch of the covered wagon disappears at the turning behind the trees. Now I can turn my eyes toward the mill again, and watch the unresting wheel sending out its diamond jets of water. That little girl is watching it too. She has been standing on just the same spot at the edge of the water ever since I paused on the bridge. And that queer white cur with a brown ear seems to be leaping and barking in ineffectual remonstrance with the wheel. Perhaps he is jealous because his playfellow in the beaver bonnet is so rapt in its movement. It is time the little playfellow went in, I think. And there is a very bright fire to tempt her. The red light shines out under the deepening grey of the sky. It is time, too, for me to leave off resting my arms on the cold stone of this bridge. Ah, my arms are really benumbed. I have been pressing my elbows on the arms of my chair and dreaming that I was standing on the bridge in front of Dalkett Mill, as it looked one February afternoon.